Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no, no, no.
I thought it was
my turn. No, it was just this. Because this thing is just the weight. So you just got to make sure. No, it's just this motherfucker. Feeling some type of way today.
Do you typically drink when you do your shows?
Yeah, I do.
Do you ever do it like sober?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Uh-huh. Okay, so yeah, that's boom. I don't know what I did or hit. Oh, that's probably what it was. All right. So we ready.
Okay.
We ready, ready, ready. And all right, okay. How many minutes you need? Five? Okay, you almost done? Okay. I said, wait for our guest. They talk about, oh, we have a guest too. All right, so we are live on the air right now on the radio, so be careful. Just don't say anything crazy because we're live right now on the radio, but we're about to go live on air. One more outfit check. Let me see. All right. Yes. How do you feel? Good. It looks good.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. So let's get it popping. Y'all ready? You ready?
I am.
Let's get it popping, baby. We are going live in 5, 4, and fuck it. We'll go live on YouTube and Facebook. So let's just go live on Facebook. Oh, I didn't even fucking change the goddamn. That was from the B. Simone live. Hold on. We'll just stream them both. Copy. But once I do this, they'll be able to hear you. Hello. What's going on, everybody? Listen. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, Linda, listen. I know it took me a while for all you guys, for all you people that's been waiting, but listen. We got a special show lined up for you today, okay? So what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Armand, and I have a special guest for us, and we got a lot to get into. The call-in lines will be open, okay? And let me tell you, it's been a stern 4th of July weekend, so my voice is kind of out, so I ain't got no time for your shit. All right, let's get into some things. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Armand, and we are live in the studio, back for another video. You know, every time I come back on Mondays, I'm a mess. But I'm not here by myself. I'm here with the lovely, the beautiful, the melanated goddess herself, Sade. What's going on, baby?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing so great. Actually, I've been doing amazing since you came to visit me the way from Atlanta.
Of course, in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh my gosh, in the middle of a pandemic, and you know it's your birthday. We've been having a blast over the last couple of days.
We have been having a blast, even just catching up and reuniting and all of that. It's been amazing. California has been great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. See, a little fun fact, what a lot of people may not know, that we've been friends for years, and her twin sister actually started me on the road of podcasting and broadcasting. So I always want to thank you guys and let you guys know that I appreciate you
for that.
You know, but you know,
and
when
you're
I was
taking off with it, this is awesome. This is great.
Come close in the camera. So then, even when I was homeless, you guys opened your guys' place up for me to stay.
That was just an excuse. You know, you was homeless was great because we was like, oh, Armand, come stay with us. And that's where it all began. And, you know, it's been a great friendship ever since.
Yes. So, all right.
And you're doing great with this. This is awesome. I catch your show every now and again when I be outside of us talking. I'm like,
right.
Let me see what Armand got to say about that.
Right. And listen, you know, it'd be a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, some people might get cursed out. Some chicks might be called some monkeys. And we might give away some money. You just never know what's going to happen on the show.
I love it.
But we got to get into some monkey business tonight because it's some crazy shit on our iPad that we got going on.
It's another day in life in America.
Right?
A whole shit show.
Okay, so let's just start with our good buddy, our friend, 50 Cent. So he is under fire right now for recently doing a podcast with Lil Wayne. We didn't watch the full podcast, but we just got the clips. And apparently he's saying that black women are bitter and they don't like when men are dating non-black women because those women are more exotic and black women come across angry. So let's play the audio so the people that didn't get to hear it can see it and hear it. And then I want your opinion on that.
Okay, let's play it.
Okay, so yeah. All right, boom. Let's see. Wow. So those were his thoughts. And as a black woman, how do you feel about that?
I mean, when I look at the video initially, Lil Wayne laughing is what's sending me. For Lil Wayne to look the way he does and co-sign this shit is ridiculous. Okay, but Lil Wayne, you can want your exotic women. We don't want you. But for 50 Cent, I just think he needs to be shot. You know? It's like, I can't stand him. He needs to be shot. He does. All he do is disrespect black women. That's all he does. He just disrespect black women, disrespect black women, disrespect black women. And it sucks because he's at a point in his career where his financial status is so elite that he can't. It's really nothing you can really do besides kind of ignore him, because we don't have anything to cancel. It's not like we're checking for his music. Niggas gonna watch Power.
Yeah, they are.
Niggas is not canceling Power. Or this other, what's this other show he has coming out?
No, I don't know. Don't get me lying. I don't watch any of them.
You know, niggas love niggas shit, so that's going to go number one as well.
And you know what? I feel like a lot of men feel this way.
He is. I think he's speaking for a lot of men.
He's speaking for a lot of black men.
Mm-hmm.
But the piece for me is that they feel as though, like, you know, you've seen it here, just at the park, how all the non-black girls were in the park, but they were like the black girl.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was exotic. That's what's exotic. So is black no longer exotic? Like, that to me is triggering.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like cultural appropriation is more exotic now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like when a lighter skin or a white or a mixed or Hispanic or whatever, when they give off black features and black energy, but they're just not black,
mm-hmm.
that's considered exotic and sexy and more beautiful.
Cute, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's really, really interesting to me.
And when black women do it, we're considered ghetto or is it like we saw a group of girls in the park yesterday. What were these girls? Hispanic,
Asian.
Ratchet. Completely changed the energy in the park. You
know
what I mean? Everyone was disturbed.
Had
that been a group of black girls my complexion,
yeah,
we'd have probably got thrown out the park.
Yeah.
You know, but it's cute when Hispanic girls do it. And you have guys like 50 Cent and Lil Wayne who push this. And it's disgusting for Lil Wayne to do it because you have a daughter that looks the complete opposite of what you're
talking about. Absolutely.
So I would love to hear a conversation. Let's have Reginae call into his podcast and say, Daddy, do you think that about me?
Yeah.
Do you think exotic women are prettier than me?
Well, she actually responded in a tweet, and she said,
poor Reginae, she always has to defend him. She has a crackhead dad who's public that she has to defend. And 50 Cent, he's just ridiculous. I can't stand it. And you can't counsel him. The only person that needs to be counseled is the man that shot him 9 times and left him alive.
Mm.
Because now 50 Cent is here just bothering us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Reginae says, I'm black. I'm beautiful. I'm enough. I'm exotic. I'm amazing. I'm one of a mother effing kind. Now, where is my black and beautiful queens?
I like that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
But she shouldn't even have to do that. But she felt embarrassed because her dad is sitting up there laughing at that.
Her dad didn't have to laugh at that for her to feel embarrassed. We're all looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
She's embarrassed anyway. She is embarrassed anyway. We are all looking at the same way. I think that's the question. Forget what 50 Cent has said. 50 Cent is ignorant. If that's his preference, good. We don't want you anyway, dear.
Mm-hmm.
You're fat. You wear a size 5 shoe. And nothing about you is attractive. So forget that. I'm stuck on the fact that Lil Wayne is comfortable enough to sit there and laugh when we're all looking at him.
Yes, and Lil Wayne looks like.
Me.
Well, you brought up a good question before we started the show. What drugs do we think that Lil Wayne is on?
I don't know a lot about drugs, but Wayne is smoking some shit that we haven't been exposed to yet.
Yes, and it's eating him from the inside out.
It is. Something is eating his insides up. It's eating his hair follicles up. It's eating his pores up. It's just, it's tearing him away. And I think we should keep Wayne in our prayers. I wouldn't give a damn how much Wayne money got. He, I don't know. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
First of all, Wayne ain't got no teeth. He ain't got no dress. Wayne looks a mess.
It's probably meth. I'm shooting for meth. I put 50 on meth. What you got?
I'm going with the heroin.
Isn't that the same shit?
I don't know shit. It I feel like they. Okay. All right. So yeah. So 50 Cent. So are you still supporting 50 Cent? Are we agreed that should he be canceled? Is he going to be canceled?
Well, we can't cancel 50 Cent because 50 Cent has nothing for us to cancel. Niggas are not going to stop watching Power, and niggas not going to watch his next show. The
okay.
only thing black women can collectively do with 50 Cent is just continue to ignore him. We haven't checked for 50 y'all since we were teenagers. So, like, who really cares? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just think he needs to be shot, and I'm just waiting on that day to come. Because he's really is just a big-ass bully that disrespects women. Consistently, every black woman he's dated, he's disrespected.
Yes.
But 50, Vivica put us on 50 a long time ago. He's just an unhappy, small-foot man.
So okay, when we're talking about these men, like, why do you feel like a lot of these black men feel this way when it comes to black women? Are black women bitter?
No, we're not bitter.
Why
it's
do
okay
you guys? Why do
you
think
have
that?
A preference. We have preference.
Why do people think that black women are bitter?
Listen, this is something. This is a plan that was put into effect long before you and I were even thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are seeing is the trickle down effects of what they did to us while we were enslaved. They turned
mm-hmm
us against each other. Am
mm-hmm
I right? They turn us against each other. So that is still happening. They still think the lighter-skinned black people are better than the darker-skinned black people.
Yeah.
Men versus women.
Yeah.
All of that shit. And it was very irresponsible for 50 Cent to say something like that at a time, the time that we're in now.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how narcissistic these people are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's reached a level of financial freedom where he feel like, I can't be canceled. There ain't shit y'all can do to me. I don't want to date black girls. I want a foreign girl. 550, if you want to go date a bitch that understand 40% of what you're saying, go. I guess
yeah
he got tired of us telling him we don't want you.
Right.
We don't want you. Go date him. But again, it's just it's an effect from the slavery and everything.
Do you
that
think that black
doing
girls are mad?
No,
that,
I don't.
That black men like white women?
Because
that's kind of what he was saying. Like, they're upset.
Listen, let me tell you something. The idea that black women are upset or mad is so outdated. Our melanin is so popping.
Mm-hmm.
We're so popping. We're so dope. We look so good. You're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing out. That's it. We're not mad.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas are everywhere. There's so many niggas out here that love dark-skinned pretty girls.
Yeah.
Or brown skin, or like whatever you like. But and you can have your preference. If you want the exotic mixed chicks to be on your boat, that's fine. Have your presence. But don't talk down on the brown skin girls or the dark skin girls. Don't say we're mad because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We are not mad. We don't care. If that's what you want, we don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I do think that's an outdated concept. We're not mad. We know our melanin popping. We know we look good.
Period. All right, so let's move along from 50 Cent and his exotic. Now we got Kanye West running for office. Now, this is a story, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't do a whole lot of research on it. All I knew is I heard Kanye West was running for president. And then I seen that he was running as an independent. So in 6 states, he could not run anymore. Because the registration had closed for those 6 states, and New York was one of those states. So in 6 states, he can't run. I'm not sure if he's still running, but I do know Elon Musk from Tesla, the owner of Tesla, said that he backs Kanye West 100%.
He co-signed him.
He co-signed him. So this is very interesting. So do you think that Kanye West has a chance?
Shit, Trump in there. I don't think, you know, I think it's, I'll be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
I did the exact same thing you did when I read it. I ignored it. It wasn't anything that I read into, but I think that's dangerous to do. I think
yeah
it's dangerous for us to ignore it because, shit, he might be president. You know what I mean?
He
like,
might. Right.
We look up shit. When we found out Donald Trump was running for president 4 years ago, we all kind of laughed at first. And then it was like, oh, shit. Like, people really going to vote for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel the same with Kanye. Like, we can't underestimate people's stupidity. So there's people out there that may vote for him. Shit, didn't 2 Chainz co-sign him?
Shit, I don't
know. He commented on the picture and said something along the lines where it's...
But as devil's advocate, like you brought up, we got Kim Kardashian out here saving niggas, freeing niggas. Kim Kardashian is getting niggas out. So Kim Kardashian will be our first lady.
She has outscored Black Lives Matter.
Yes, she has.
She has.
She has gotten niggas out of jail.
Listen, again, I it sucks to say, but I do not think it's far-fetched to say that Kanye and Kim Kardashian could be in the White House. I do think, though, that Kanye is in cahoots with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're friends. I think, you know, Kanye does business with Trump. And I think, you know, he's doing it to divide the votes. So it could be easier for Trump to get in there another 4 years. That's America. I think that's America. That's the face of America and where we are now is basically you have Trump, who's a rapist, the other guy, Joe Biden, who's accused of being a rapist, and you have a rapper. It's like it's between choosing fucking syphilis and gonorrhea. Like, which one you want? You want syphilis or you want gonorrhea?
Or the C-19.
Or the C-19.
Because that's what's going around now.
Yeah.
So let's get into that, too. Because in your hometown,
Tell us about it. Oh, y'all seen the videos. It's crazy. It's nuts out there.
Atlanta is a shit show, okay?
Atlanta
is the only city that I've known, since this whole C-19 situation where it seems like no one gives a damn.
Oh, we are back open and back to regular schedule programming.
There's no social distancing.
No masks.
Yeah, I mean, it's threesomes in public pools.
Listen, so you saw the video.
Yes.
So there was a party at Compound in Atlanta last night or the night before, whatever, this past weekend. And hundreds of people showed up. It was an indoor pool party.
Mm-hmm.
People were in the pool. Y'all saw the videos. People were in the pool dancing. You know, there's rumors going around that people were having sets in the pool,
mm-hmm.
outside the pool. I mean, it is just nuts. It's nuts out there. So, hey, man, listen.
Is anyone not scared? Like, no one's afraid?
That's the question that comes to hand. Is quarantine over? Or when should it be over? I mean, because how long do we want people to just be stuck inside?
Yeah, but
blame people?
Yeah, but at the same time, you can do it smart. Because, when we did our thing, we were still in the midst of hundreds of people, but we were definitely social distancing.
Definitely.
I mean, we weren't having a threesome in a pool.
Right.
Or we
right.
weren't in the middle That's of a club regular. Banging on each other. And mind you, you got thousands of people in the club, and one lonely girl has on a mask. Girl,
one
she might
girl
well took
had
that.
On the mask. At least she tried.
At least she tried, but
she
since
tried.
You got it, you got the C-19.
And then
point.
You know our mayor, Keisha, Ms. Keisha Lance Bottom, she just came out. Now she tested positive for COVID.
Yes, she did.
It's getting crazy out there. I may stay here with you. Hell, just a week ago, they would say L.A. was the cesspool.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's changing every week. So just... Listen, wash your hands, social distance. But you can't, my thing is we can't judge people for leaving and going out. We can't, because if you've left your house, if you've done any kind of shopping, if
mm-hmm.
you've been to work, you've put yourself just at risk as the person that's in the club.
I'm going to be honest with you. I battle with this back and forth in my mind. I'm no doctor. I don't know how it goes. But a piece of me is like, just let me catch it already and hopefully get through it so I can be done. Because I feel like,
okay, you on your own with that.
No, the only reason why, because I feel like it's almost inevitable.
Yeah.
Right? And I almost feel like if you catch it, do you develop the antibodies for it? So then you could just move on and maybe you won't get reinfected.
I don't want it either.
I don't either. But I'm just saying, at this point, it makes me feel like it's not going to be over until we all get it at least once.
Because I'm not taking a vaccine. So even with that, it's like, I hope, you know, I'm not fooling with no vaccines. I'm going to just keep praying.
Some people are saying, there are people who've gotten it twice. See, that's the thing that makes me nervous, because then I also feel like life will never be the same. You know what I mean? Even like when we were at the park, we couldn't even talk to people. I don't even want people walking up to, if I don't really know you like that, mm-hmm. I don't want you walking up to me, talk like conversations are different. You can't, like we talked before, you can't have a summer cold. You can't have mm-hmm. allergies. None of that, because I'm automatically thinking that's the C-19. Mm-hmm. Back away from me.
I sneezed in the store, and before the lady took my money, she went and put on some hand sanitizer, and I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, damn, a bitch can't sneeze no more. There's no more summer colds or allergies. It's automatic C-19.
Mm-hmm.
It's no more colds. I can't sneeze. Mm-hmm. It's just a little dust flew in my nose. I
yeah.
can't sneeze.
Pretty much. So, yeah, those are my.
I personally, I don't know anyone that.
Yeah. Well, I know someone that has it. And I know when, and one of my cousins, he passed away from it. But he was in a nursing home. But one of my friends that I know, he works within the community out there in Dallas. But he caught it. So it people are catching it. It's real. Excuse me. And so I'm a little bit afraid.
My mayor has it. So.
Yeah, your mayor now has it. But I mean, I'm sure your whole city has it. So you be careful, because your city is open and it doesn't seem like anybody cares. What is your governor saying?
Well, we have the National Guard heading into Atlanta.
Okay.
Just due to all of the shootings that took place over the 4th of July weekend. And again, it's just being careful with kind of how we're looking at things, because now it's like the whole narrative in Atlanta has changed
mm-hmm.
and went from those cops that got away with killing that black man to now black people just killing black people.
And that was another thing I wanted to talk about, too, because a lot of people were upset with your mayor. Because she was saying, you know, now this ain't the cops doing, y'all killing each other. And they like, well, girl, this is not the same. And to me, it is. And I feel like a lot of black people don't want to acknowledge the crime that they do to each other. So you can't, if you cannot appreciate your own brother and sister's lives, how do you expect racist white police to respect and appreciate your life?
No. These are two separate issues here. These are two different conversations that we're having.
Mm.
When these cops are gunning us down, targeting us, gunning us down in the street,
mm-hmm.
they can still get paid. They can go home and be with their family.
Yes.
So that's the problem. But when we do it to each other, we get time in jail for it. We get gunned down behind. So I think that's the issue. And I think it was very irresponsible of her to use the situation of the 8-year-old little girl getting killed to prove a point, to say, well, this wasn't the cops, y'all. This is us. We've been killing each other for years.
So what? We should not be doing that. Because
but that's not
what?
The time to use. But that's not
yes.
the time How, to prove your point.
It's not. However.
You're the mayor. You develop programs to assist with that problem. Don't use. The cops are killing black people, unarmed black people every day. That has nothing to do with black people killing black people. Just like white people killing white people. This happens everywhere, in every race, in every neighborhood. That was very reckless and irresponsible of her to get on TV and say.
But she had to, right? Because
T.I. got his dumb ass on TV and called Atlanta Wakanda.
But on top of that, that's all I'm seeing and hearing on social media, is that these black people are shooting people, killing each other, beating each other's asses. So that's what's going viral now. So she had to address this, like, come on, guys.
That's what they wanted to happen. They wanted the whole narrative to change. 2 weeks ago, when Atlanta was viral and a trending topic, it was because a black man got gunned down for no reason mm-hmm. in the Wendy's parking lot. That's what Atlanta was viral for. Now they've changed the entire narrative. And I'm not saying they did. Yes. Niggas was out there shooting each other.
But I get exactly what you're saying. They did. So for that reasoning, we need to eliminate a lot of the resources that they have, which means stop killing each other, because we always know that there's somebody saying all lives matter or black people are killing black people. See, look. So maybe if we stop doing those things, they won't have these images to put in our face.
No, black people killing black people isn't just because they want to do it. This is all results from a system that's in place to keep these people oppressed and angry.
Yeah.
There's a bigger issue here. A way bigger issue. And that's something as a black mayor, as a black woman, you should get on TV and talk about and address. You know why black people are killing each other. You know why black people are angry. You know what black people are suffering from.
But
don't
I feel
compare
like
that to, oh, this wasn't the cops this time, y'all. Girl, hush.
No, I feel like when you're talking to the masses and you're trying to make a point and you're trying to make people understand you, sometimes you have to take that L and say, listen, you know what? We are killing each other. You cannot ignore that because you're going to lose credibility and respect from the people who really don't care about it. They're going to be like, well, why aren't you addressing the fact that black people are killing each other? You're not going to say anything about that? She had to speak on that. She had to.
I'm not saying that she doesn't have to speak on it. All I'm saying is there's a timing and a place to do
mm-hmm.
so. And that wasn't the right time or place.
Yeah.
Because once again, we are talking apples and oranges.
Period. But if she did not speak on it, guess what? Some white person will be like, yeah,
that's what
Mayor.
They do.
So yeah, so you sometimes you have to acknowledge it because sometimes you have to be like, you listen, guys, y'all making me look stupid. I'm out here fighting for y'all. And we out here fighting and standing a good fight, but this
white
doesn't help.
White people are acknowledging what they wanted to happen.
So let's stop giving them ammunition to do so, our message doesn't get lost.
I agree. I'm not saying that we shouldn't preach for that. All I'm saying is it's a timing. It has nothing to do with white officers coming into our neighborhoods and gunning us down for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with the state of mind that black people are in these neighborhoods that we call the trap.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the trap for a reason. Niggas is trapped in there. They're killing each other. All of this, it's a bigger issue going on.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
And yes, she was irresponsible getting her ass on TV and saying that. Yes, that was irresponsible as hell.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think she had to do that.
Do it
just
at another time,
just so that her next message will be received. Because you can't have a message of power and unity and stop killing black people. And then when it's viral news of black people doing dumb shit and you don't reprimand them publicly, then you lose credibility to the masses of the people that you're trying to reach because they're still going to be holding on to the fact that, well, girl, you didn't say nothing about these black people doing it to each other. So while I agree with you, she still has to address the fact that there's some white people paying more attention to the fact that we're doing it to each other. So she had to go ahead and address that. So then her other messages will be received, in my opinion.
I understand, and I agree to an extent with what you're saying. However, to be completely honest with you, I don't even think that these were black people out there doing that. I think there are white people using this opportunity during these protests in this time to go out and paint a narrative, to be completely honest with you, just like they was doing at the protest. I went to a protest in Atlanta, and I'll be completely honest. Shit, I went back home because I said, it's too many white people out here for me. It's too many white people
really?
Out here. I don't trust white people. No, yeah. I said, no, it's too many white people out here. White people have never been our allies.
No.
So, yeah, it's going to be white people out in the crowd saying, so what about black-on-black crime?
Mm-hmm.
No, bitch,
mm-hmm.
we talking about your cousins shooting us for no reason. That's
mm-hmm.
what we talking about. We addressing our issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Keisha should have waited till she took to Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Take Killer Mike and T.I., and that's when you preach that message, when you out in the fields and you talking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that shit on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all, this wasn't the cops this time. Girl, go home.
I see what you're saying.
Because
it's kind of like, I feel you. I mean, it's just one of those catch-22s. You damned if you do, you damned if you don't.
They are trying to make a mockery of Atlanta, and
mm-hmm.
Keisha is the forerunner, the face of it. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agenda. They're doing this for a reason. All of a sudden, it's viral shootings that's happening in Atlanta. We're not even talking about the cops that's gunning these niggas down no more.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even talking about protests anymore. So listen, Keisha, you should have picked another time and place, sis. That's all I'm saying. I don't disagree with what she said. I agree. Yeah, we need to stop killing each other, but sis, another time and place, period.
Okay, let's read this comment. This is a super chat from Hennessy and Hip Hop. Armand is right. As people, we look like hypocrites to say Black Lives Matter when looking at the police, but there is no march when little kids get killed by people in our community because they killed an 8-year-old girl.
Rest in peace to her. That's very sad. And it was also two other people got killed down in the shootout down on Edgewood. But listen, like I said, this is all a result of a system that's in place to keep black people angry at each other and to keep black people uneducated and feel like that's all that we have to resort to. So
All right. Well, you know what? Well, let's take some calls from the audience. Let's see. The number, the calling number is available. The number is 563-999-3658. If you guys would like to call in, let us know. Oh, we already
have. Somebody said not everything is an agenda. I agree. I'm not saying everything is an agenda. I'm just saying, you know, we have to consider that. It's the media controls a lot, and it's the reason that certain things are going viral at this time.
Okay, let's take a call. 7711, you're live on the air. Hey, what's going on, baby? Hello? Can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, I'm calling to make a comment about what 50 Cent directed toward black women.
Okay.
And what I'm, like, he was saying that his reaction, like, the women were giving him a certain type of reaction, and this is why he dates, you know, women of other races, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, if so many of these black women are reacting toward you that way, maybe you're doing something, maybe you're treating them some type of way, and this is why they're reacting toward you. So sometimes you need to take a look and see inside of yourself and take accountability for yourself, and don't blame a race of people. That is not right. I'm sorry. All right?
So why
and
do you
I feel like,
though,
you know what?
But why do you feel like,
I'm
because
sorry.
This is the common thing, why does it appear socially that black men, especially darker-skinned black men, prefer white to lighter-skinned women?
And I'll speak and I'll tell you from my experience. That's what I can do. You know, my dad is Puerto Rican. My mom is from Aruba. And I wasn't raised on Hispanic side.
So you would be
considered
exotic to 50 Cent. So you're his type.
What, girl?
Right.
Okay.
So I was offended. First of all, like, my grandmother on my mom's side is dark skinned, and I was raised by my mom's side of the family. So that's why I identify with being. And my grandmother was beautiful. She had 10 children, and I'll be damned if you're going to make women feel like that. I think it's disgusting, and I think this is hip hop's fault. Why is hip hop allowing this shit to happen? I'm sorry, can I curse?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you've already done it.
I love hip hop music. I'm so sorry. I love hip hop music. I'm from New York. I grew up on it. I absolutely love it. And one thing that always bothered me growing up, watching music videos, you like a song, and then you see a light-skinned woman in the car with a guy, or you see, you know, back then in the 90s, I remember it was all Spanish women, and I remember thinking, or light-skinned black women, and I remember I said it to my stepfather.
Five,
you know,
more
he's
seconds,
Carla.
We got a lot of people in the queue.
Okay,
get to
sorry.
The last point.
I think it's hip-hop's fault. That's what I think.
Thank you, Carla.
With their
Thank
casting
you.
In the
Thank you. But she does have a point, because Pop Smoke.
She lost me. I didn't know. What she,
okay.
What was she saying?
She was basically saying it's hip hop's fault that that black men prefer white to light skinned women and don't really prefer dark skin or, you know, naturally black women. She blamed it on hip hop.
It's not hip hop's fault. It's the fact that we were enslaved for over 400 years, and that's what they put in our heads, and that's what's been passed down generation after generation. Hip hop came along long after that.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we got to get to the point. We have a full queue, so we got to make it clear, make it understandable, make it quick, guys. Okay. Just let's get to it. 7311. You're live on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. What's going on, baby?
Hey. This is Ashira. So, I want to make it brief because I know you said you had a lot of people on the line. I'd like to agree with your co-host today that dark-skinned black women do not care what black men in America prefer. I am a dark-skinned woman. I travel all over the world, and I'm considered exotic to other people. I date people from the Middle East. I date people from Europe. It doesn't matter. What 50 Cent said was not offensive to me. Something that is foreign is considered exotic. When we travel and we date outside our race, we are also considered exotic. I date men from Israel all the time. I was just living there for a year. They consider my braids, my dreads, my whatever exotic. You know, it's not offensive. And it's saying
Hold on, because can we go? So, okay, go ahead and block and remove Octavia, because you don't need to even bother commenting. Bye. So now, how about that? I do what I want to do. Super chat me, bitch, if you want to have an opinion. Now, how about that? Oh. Bye. Go ahead.
And have a good night.
So I just want to make that clear for anything. If there are black women who are offended by it, I'd encourage you guys to go ahead and date outside your race, because you're considered exotic to everybody else who's not black, you know? So his comments were not offensive. Now, I was really calling in because I wanted to get to talk about this police brutality. And I want to encourage everyone to read, research, and study data, because this is where we're missing in the conversation. So I'd have to agree with Armand on this, that no, we are not talking about black-on-black crime enough. We're not talking about the fact that we are 13% of the population, but we make up most of the crime in this country. We want to talk about police brutality. When you look at the data, 55 unarmed Americans were killed last year in 2019, 19 of which were black. And let's be very clear, just because you are unarmed does not mean you're a threat or a danger to society. So I'm not defending that, oh, it was just only 19 or anything like this, but I just want to be clear that unarmed does not mean you're not dangerous. Secondly, I want to make the point that when we are out here protesting and saying Black Lives Matter and the police are hunting us down and killing us, that narrative is a lie. That narrative is pushed by liberals and leftists to keep us voting for them every 4 years. We do not hear from Black Lives Matter until it's an election cycle, okay? When we do look at the data, what the data does show is that when we measure for excessive force is used more on black people than any other race. So that is a problem. But when it comes down to death that results from police interaction with whether that be black men, white men, Hispanic men, the numbers are relatively the same. And do not take my word for it. Go ahead and research the data. So when we're pushing a narrative and saying police are killing and hunting us down, that is a narrative to keep us emotional, okay? And to continue to vote for Democrats. Secondly, when we are not addressing the black-on-black crime, it was very important that she addressed that, because that same weekend, George Floyd dying, a young boy was killed and shot in the head, a 10-year-old, by a man who didn't like his father. Nobody knows his name. Nobody knows the name of the last 10 children who were killed in Chicago. So it is very important and imperative that our community talks about black-on-black crime and not slip it away and say, well, it doesn't matter. We go to jail for the crimes that we commit. That is an ignorant argument. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Did you have a response?
I agree with a lot of what she was saying. I don't think that we're not addressing black-on-black crime. I just think that we shouldn't do it simultaneously talking about...
We're not addressing it. No one is addressing it. No celebrity is addressing it. No politician is addressing it. We're talking about defunding the police. If we defund the police, who is that going to hurt the most? The people in projects, the people in the trap. This whole rioting and looting and all of these protests, that was bullshit. They were tearing down
about defunding the police. We're talking about taking money out of their budget. So that would actually help the people in the projects, because that's where more money needs to be put into.
No,
so
sis, that would not help the people in the projects to defund the police.
So people in the projects
if we're committing majority of the most crimes, okay, and say I live in the projects, when I call the police and there's no police to come, that would not help. What would help is
that's not what defunding the police is.
What would help is to reallocate those monies into training and de-escalation training. It does
What is defunding the police?
Let me know, because I work for the government. So tell me.
Oh, that's awesome. So I'll tell you again. defunding the police is taking money out of their budget and applying it elsewhere. So if we are able to take millions of dollars out of the police system and apply it to better schools in the lower income, which is us, like you just said, which is us, if we're able to apply that money in the lower income areas, that would decrease crime. Because now you have these kids that are committing crimes, they have Boys and Girls Clubs to go to. They have better schools. They have more things in their community that can keep them off the streets, that can keep them from killing each other, love. That's the effects of defunding the police.
We're saying the same thing. You're saying we allocate the funds. To defund the police is to take the money away from the police department, and you're saying to apply it to schools. There is budget to apply it to the lower income communities
because there's whole budgets for that.
You do not need to take a budget from the police department. The budgets to the police department are
love,
already
when you
low,
have a police department
do,
like the New York
they,
Police Department who has a $500 million budget, you can't take money from that. All they're doing is killing people. So take some money from the police department and start applying it somewhere else. I disagree with you on that period.
All they're doing is killing people?
I disagree.
Okay, that's fine. But you're not going to say statements like all they're doing is killing people and not back that up with some data. Go work for the police.
Go apply. Get you a job with the police department. I don't want to work for the police.
I work in national security, but I'm just saying, to say that all they're doing is killing people is untrue.
Okay. That's a lie. Thank you, caller.
Thank you, love.
Thanks, Sashura. Love you,
bye.
Sis. Okay, so it's so funny. I'm laughing.
She had a good point, though.
No, I'm laughing. Yeah. I'm laughing because I wanted her to finish before I got there, because that's my sister, my little sister. But I didn't want. I wanted her to get the internet because we.
She had a good point when she responded to the comment.
For the 50 cent. So, but me and her get into the Trump stuff. But you know, we get into it. But she's very smart. She's got it. She's very educated.
Yes.
She does it. So I let her. But me and her get into it. But so that's why everybody's like, you're laughing.
She reminds me a lot of Candace Owens. Candace Owens is one of those type of women. They gas up on those numbers and facts.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to somebody who's speaking from common sense, love, I don't care what numbers you shoot me. I'm telling you what we're seeing, and I'm telling you what could solve it. But, hey, read your books, boo.
That's funny. So, yeah, that was my little sister. But, you know, she held her own. So, listen, everybody's not going to agree. That's why I didn't want to tell everybody this is my sister. Because I didn't want anybody to feel like, you know, they had to censor themselves. Say what you mean what you say. She can handle it. She's a big girl. So shout out to her for calling in, you know. But see, just like her, like, we're on different sides of the fence, but we have very strong opinions. And a lot of people don't like me on this platform.
Yeah.
They were calling me rude because I told a person to hurry up. It is what it is. It runs in our blood, bitch. You like us or you don't. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So, yeah, that was my sister. And I'm definitely her brother, and we get into some things. We may not always agree, but you can tell that, listen.
I'm not saying stats don't count. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if I'm saying that it's wrong for police officers to hunt us down and gun us down, I don't need you to come telling me, well, only 13 of them got shot last year. Like, that to me, I don't care about that. What I'm saying is, that's wrong. That shouldn't be happening. This is what we're marching for. If we're defunding police, let's reapply the money here, there. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's 313, 300 out of 351.
Me and her are never going to be on the same side when it comes to the Trump stuff. So, but, you know. It's just what it is.
But I agree with her. She had a great point with the response to 50 Cent, though.
So, yeah, she did have a good point with that. So, shout out to you. Love you. Let's take some more calls. Okay, so we got Shadira next. 7931. You are live on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hey, what's going on, boo?
Oh, nothing much. So the first thing that I wanted to say was she's totally right. Not only do just dark-skinned women not care, but nobody cares. Well, I will say not only for 50 Cent. Like, I know some black women actually do care, and they give the rest of us that don't give a damn a bad look, because some people do get really upset about it. But I'm like, girl, even if he wasn't dating her, he probably wouldn't be dating you. So what does it matter? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many other females out here. I almost said a different word, but it's so many other females out here. Why would, like, do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, just because it's her, like, if he liked black women, it still wouldn't be you. I don't understand what the outrage is for. Let that man date who he want to date. Just like,
I was just like, a lot of, like, you can't say, you can't say certain things about women or black women without them taking it personal, even if it does. We've been through it on this channel countless amount of times. So that's not really.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying, and he may not be interested in you, but I think the bigger picture is the fact that there's a narrative being pushed, and it's just like those things, like just pushing the fact that black women cannot be exotic, or black women aren't as attractive or as desirable. And I think that's the bigger picture that is trying to, we're trying to take away from it.
And all that, like the other caller said, like if we from a black women, if we go somewhere else where black women are not, you know, we're exotic. Literally, like you are. You just, if you go somewhere opposite than where you're from, you're exotic. It's not. It doesn't take a lot to be exotic. Like you just are. So I'm just like, I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me. The other thing is, like what you were saying about the black on black crime and stuff. It's like that's cool and all, and it does need to be addressed. But black people don't kill black people because they're black. Black people kill black people because they had an issue. You know, whatever might have happened, just could, like white people shoot each other because Billy had sex with Bobby's sister. I don't know. Like, you know, they don't kill each other because they're white.
I'm with you.
They're white. Yeah, they do it. We don't do it because they're black. But a lot of the time, even though the white officer may not say so, it's almost very much because the person was black. You was already scared just because the man was black and he's taller than you and he's bigger than you and he's dark and he's muscular. You was already scared when you walked up to his car, but he just sitting in his car not bothering nobody. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, however it goes down. So that's all. That's the only part I wanted to get across about that. Like, it does need to be addressed, but it not along with the situation they have, because they go together, but not really. Like, they're different. Like, they're two different sides of the same coin.
Okay, let me ask you a question as far as the 50 Cent piece. Do you think that black women are bitter? And I should have asked Ashura this. Do you think that black women are bitter? Like, is that a question? Are black women bitter?
Oh, I would have loved to hear what Ashura had to say.
Yeah, call in again, Ashura, and let me know if you think that black women are bitter. And she should call in again and answer if I hate black women. But go ahead.
Do you hate black women, Armand?
I don't know. Let's ask my sister. Let's see what she says.
Oh, no. I don't think black women are bitter at all. Like I said a while ago, some, as a whole, no, black women are not bitter, but you do have some that do get upset. You know, you always have your few out of everybody, but as a whole, no, black women are not bitter. I think as a whole, black women don't give a damn. Black women want the black men that want them. Like, you know, black women want the black men that want them. My black man wants me and I want him. It works out. I'm not worried about what no other black man want, because it's just not important to me. Like, so that's all. That's all it is. Nobody
well,
can.
Thanks, boo.
Nobody.
Thank
no
you.
No problem. Love you.
Love you too. All right.
Yeah, just real quick to piggyback off what she said. I agree with that. I think it's so outdated to say that we really care that he has a preference of exotic women. Like black women, especially like brown skin, darker skin, we know our melanin popping. We know we look good. We know whatever texture our hair is, we know it's pretty. We know that. Like we have that confidence now. So even like the callers say, even a few women that get upset, it makes all of us look bad because a lot of us really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We know we popping. That's what you want. You're lost.
Let's take this call and then I see you. Sure, I'll get you back after this caller right here. 5905. We're going to take this super chat. 5905. Levy. Hey, what's going on, baby?
Hi, Armand.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, I need to say a couple things.
Okay.
So first off, let me just piggyback off of what the last caller was speaking about. Black women, as far as being bitter, I disagree. I think that's a narrative that's been pushed, you know, in the media, portrayed by other communities, that black women are all angry and bitter and all we do is holler and fight. We can never feel any type of emotion that's not happiness. If it's anything else, then we get called out of our names and get put on this different page, like we're just all so angry. And if we do get angry, I think we have a right to be angry, just like everybody else. I don't understand why when we express emotion, it's a problem. It's a problem for us to speak up. It's a problem for us to say what we feel, because we're looked at, you know, differently. And I just personally feel like that's something that's been a narrative that's been run through the media. But the point of my call, though, is really the police brutality situation.
Okay.
I think that this whole black-on-black crime, I've actually watched documentaries and I've researched it because I'm very interested in America. I'm from the Dominican Republic, but I am black. So when I came to the U.S., I didn't know anything about the United States. I didn't know the history. And then in school, we started learning about things, started learning about Emmett Till, started learning about slavery and all these other things that I was never aware of. And it brought a different perspective to light. And I could understand now why people treated me different. And I think that black people as a whole, we have been put into the lowest of the low, even though there have been hundreds of years that have passed after slavery. We are still oppressed in every way, shape, or form. We cannot wear our hair how we want to wear. I remember when I was a little girl, it was always I had to get a perm because my hair was bad. I had bad hair. Now I'm natural because I realized that my hair is not bad. My hair is beautiful. This is something that has been a narrative because European beauty is what it's supposed to be. This is something that we have been conditioned to think it's the right thing. Same thing with the black-on-black crime. That's been portrayed in the media as if, oh, this is all they do. They're hoodlums. They're thugs. They kill each other. This is what they do. Don't go to these areas because you're at risk. And no, you everything, we have the worst schools. We have the worst of everything. So how do you expect us to be able to be on the same level as you when you have taken all the opportunities away from us? You've taken everything that we could have possibly used to be as successful, to be, you know, a positive influence. And even when we do get out, we're still disregarded. We're looked at differently. We can't do anything as simple as taking a jog because it's we're automatically looked at. Oh no, he shouldn't be here. He's doing something he's not supposed to do. It's not it's not about how many get killed. It's not about that. It's about the simple fact that it happens, period, and it should not happen at all. That's the point. Police brutality should not happen at all. That's
period.
It don't matter. You know, if it's white, black, yellow, green, it don't matter. It should not happen, though we do see it a lot more in our communities. We do. We have seen it time and time again. This is not something new. This is something that we have seen throughout history. Justice is never done when it comes to our community. It just never happens. It never happens. So when we talk about this, it's not about the numbers. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we should not have people that have a badge, that have a gun, that can sit here and take a life but not be charged for it, but get away with it, but still get compensated and live their daily lives with their families like nothing happened. But we have to sit here in pain. We have to sit here and actually suffer. And we can't we can't speak up. We can't say, hey, there's something wrong across this nation. There's something going on here. We can't say that. That's a problem. Oh, no, black on black. No, forget that. You know what the bigger problem is. Address that. And then we can talk about everything else. Then we can talk about everything else. We can do that. I'm not saying this, we can't do it. But just focus. I feel like we should have psychologists. Y'all need to be consulting with these police officers every time they go out in the field, every couple months. Y'all need to go ahead and do some therapy sessions and see if they're even capable of still keeping that job and being outside with the community. If they can't handle that, if you see any type of psychological issues, okay, we need to back it up. We need to back them up.
Yes.
He need to be in the
office. 5 more seconds, caller. 5 more seconds. Absolutely. 5 more seconds, so, baby. I know.
That's all I had to say, Armand. You know, I just had to get this off my chest.
Yes, but I'm glad that you got it off. Hold on. You know what? Actually, I'll keep you on if you want to hang on, and we can circle back around to you if we get to it. So I'll keep you on.
Okay.
I won't hang you up. What?
Do therapy sessions with these young men killing each other.
Okay, sure. Let's bring you back, but I got a lot of people that I'm going to bring on. So let's answer the questions at hand. Do you think that black women are bitter?
No, I do not think that black women are bitter. I think that the stats show that we are least likely to date outside of our race. And so we do have this commitment to black men. And when this pops up in the media, you know, it seems like we're so outraged. But I think that black women are not bitter. I think that black women should, you know, start dating outside their race. And if they feel so unappreciated, there's a lot of men out there who appreciate your melanin and your hair. They love the afro. They love the 4C. They love it all. So that would be my advice.
So you would encourage women to start dating non-black men?
If you're going to keep complaining year after year that black men don't want you, they don't like you, I think we shouldn't just say black. I think we should say, you know, black American men, because, you know, there's all kind of black people from different cultures who, you know, that's not feel the same way, you know? So
I know you dated a plethora of different guys. You don't date really a lot of black American men. Now, the other thing, I just for kicks and giggles.
My ex-husband is from Nigeria.
Well,
he's very African. He had a lot of appreciation for the melanin. So maybe you guys need to date some brothers from Africa, you know? I don't know. I do want to address the last caller's statement and say that I want to make myself very, very, very clear as possible. I didn't never say that, it was just 13 or is just 19. I don't think any lives should be killed by the police. I do believe our police are over-militarized, and I am very pro-American. So I don't want to see 55 Americans killed by our police. I am very much a supporter of Black Guns Matter. I want to encourage all your followers to arm themselves and protect their Second Amendment and to address things from policy standpoints. The other issue, the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I do not like the narrative that Black people do not have the opportunity to be successful. I believe that narrative is a lie. I believe that narrative is pushed by leftists and liberals and white people who have a superiority problem to us, and they like to act like they're our white saviors, and they have continued to push this narrative on us, but that is untrue. I am from Livermore, California. We were the only black people from the city that we are from. I went to all white schools. I was the only black girl. I did get bullied in all kinds of things, but my parents never, ever, and me and Armand have the same parents, never taught us, you can't go here because you're black. You can't achieve this because you're black. We've never heard that we can't do anything because we're black, and we've never been taught that we are at a disadvantage because we're black. Okay, so I don't think that black people, and I don't think it's healthy for us to hold those ideas in our mind. When white liberals come to me and say, we want
to
help you, we want
to
help you, you're so oppressed. I look at them and I say, I'm oppressed. First of all, I have more education than you. We don't want to talk about statistics. We don't want to talk about how black women are women right now. we don't want to talk about how black women are the highest educated right now. You know what I mean? We don't want to talk about how black women are leading the way in entrepreneurship in this country right now. You know what I mean? So just as much as they want to talk about negative statistics, there are positive statistics that are happening in our community that do not get highlighted. What I am for equal opportunity. I'm not for equal outcomes, because those are your choices in your life determines your outcomes. But I should have the equal opportunity next to the next person. What I think that happens
should,
in our community.
We don't live in a perfect world.
Let me just finish this last point, because when I was in education, my parents, neither one of my parents have graduated with a high school education, okay? I was the first one in my family to graduate with my bachelor's and my master's degree, okay? What I think is happening is a lack of access to knowledge. When I studied abroad twice and I came back to my school and was telling other black girls to go study abroad, they said, oh, we can't afford it. I said, did you know your financial aid covers your whole program when you go abroad? No, they didn't know. So because they didn't know, they couldn't access that program. When I went to D.C. and I worked in D.C. and I said, oh, did you know you can go to D.C. on this program? They said, no, we didn't know. They continue to push the narrative as we're keeping black people out of these spaces, when sometimes it's just that they don't have access to the knowledge that, you know, you can get there through this program or this grant or this funding is available to you. Same with what's going on right now. They were talking about how many black businesses, small businesses, applied to the loans available for people in the COVID situation. Less than 60%. It's because we're not accessing the information. It's there, but you have to apply for it. So when people say, oh, we don't have equal opportunity and I can't access this, that's not true. What's the problem is black people just need to go back to the community and let people know, hey, there's federal financial aid. Everybody can go to college. The government pays for it if you make under X amount of money. You know what I mean? So if that's what you want to do, that's what you can do. There are loans specifically for women of color. If you need help filling it out, then I can help you fill it out. So I can't sit here and honestly say that I haven't had equal opportunity.
Wrap it
what
up.
I can say is, okay, what I can say is my parents might have not known where to point me to get that information, but I've had to go and ask around to receive the information for me to get where I'm at today. So I can't say that, oh, black people don't have opportunity. We have more than enough opportunity. We have more than enough successful black Americans in black America who can help black America. And the white liberal is not my savior, and they're not coming to save me, and they're not superior to me, period.
Okay. Now, with that being said, have I ever called you a monkey just for shits and giggles?
No, you've never called me a monkey.
Do you think I hate you? Do I hate you and mama?
No.
Why do you think that they think that I hate black women? Why do they think that I hate you guys? You know, they think I hate
you.
Oh, did you know mama is supposed to be my stepmother, too? That's not my real mama, by the way. You're not my, you know what I mean?
Our mother has birthed 9 children. Our brother passed away at 1 year old, so there's 8 of us living. We all have the same mother. We were all birthed out of the same vagina. My brother does not hate black women. He has 5 sisters who are all blacky, black, black. We don't get any blacker than this. You know what I mean? And we have a very close relationship. And we challenge each other all the time. And I think it's great that I hope that people can have more civil discourse, and that more people from the left and the right and independents would talk more, especially in the black community, because there are narratives being pushed and they're trying to brainwash us every fucking 4 years. And I'm really, really sick of it. I want to encourage you guys. If you have an issue,
okay,
that you're
you keep going.
About,
come on. I'm about to hang up on you.
I know,
you
but I have to say this. If you're passionate about food insecurity, if you're passionate about police reform, go read the policies and see who's writing them, and then vote in your interest. Okay?
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Bye. Love you. We'll talk to you later. Thank you. Kashida took over the whole damn show. All right. Love her. Love her. Love her to death. All right, we got a lot of people in the queue. Okay, let's keep it going. Who else? What are the numbers? What are the numbers? Who else? I mean, okay. 8435. I love her. I love her to death, but she know how I am. She don't get offended. That's my sister. She'll get
I just
over
think
it.
She has a great quirky way of saying that black people, there isn't a system to keep black people oppressed. Yeah. And there is one.
Go ahead.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Yes, there is. Just because you put it in this eloquent way doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Yes, there is. There is still a system in place to keep that knowledge from us. To keep
I
us
agree
behind,
with you.
To keep us not knowing these things. So let's stop pretending like that's not out there. That's great that your parents taught you to not fear white people, but it's definitely realistic to know that there is a system put here to keep the knowledge from us and to keep us back. That is why there are so many internal issues within our community, because it's people like her.
Mm-hmm.
It's people like her and Candace Owens who put these, who has these ideas that we live in this perfect world, that there isn't a system to keep black people down.
Yeah.
And there is.
I definitely feel like there is a system.
Yes, it is. It's very obvious. So let's stop it with that narrative.
Yes. Well, we get into this all the time. So, you
girl.
Know. Okay. What's the next caller? 8435. All right. 8435, you're live on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. I've been listening, and it's really interesting to see all the different viewpoints, but I just briefly wanted to touch on the topic of whether black women are bitter and just referencing something that your sister actually just said that I thought was interesting when she was advocating for black gun rights. I think that given this slew of videos that we've been seeing of unfortunately black men attacking young black women, I do think that it is in the best interest of black people to become armed, not just because of the white people who are attacking us and doing things of that nature, but also to protect against our own, because whether or not we would like to admit it, as black women, black men do mistreat us very obviously. That's in the statistics, that's in our households. You can see it in the, I don't want to call it the anger, but the frustration on behalf of black women towards black men. And I think that that's what they call being bitter. But I think the problem is that black women are not afforded the same nuances that white women and Latinas are. For example, if a black woman is angry, she's angry. She's all these types of things. If a Latina, and I'm Latina, if I'm angry, I'm feisty and I'm this and I'm that.
Yes, you're a hot Latina. You're
I'm a hot
feisty Latina.
Latina.
Yeah, fiery. Yeah.
Exactly. But if
it's a compliment.
But, you know, when I, exactly. But when I'm in Dominican Republic and I come back 10 shades darker, then all of a sudden I'm angry. Oh, what's wrong with your hair? What are you doing? You know?
Yes.
So to me, I think that, you know, I've noticed on Twitter, for example, this whole divest movement with black women who essentially are advocating that women, especially black women, need to start dating outside of their race. And I think that that's very true. I think that it's not that black women care what black men do. It's the fact that there's often this thing that black men do where it's like, I would never date a roach. I would never date a black, dark-skinned woman, you know, and I think
that's where the frustration comes from. Or I want my kids to have good hair, you know what I mean, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like, don't you remember that video that came out of the battle rapper that started going in on his opponent, not because of things that this man did, but he started going on him on, my wife is light-skinned, my daughter's light-skinned, your daughter's black, and that's where the frustration comes from. It's not that we are bitter. It's just, why to build them up, you have to tear us down when we are the same color as your mothers. And just to wrap it up in a nice little bow, I also think the problem with black straight men in the community is that they are so used to, you know, you could hear it in the raps, for example, like, my mother was the father, the this. They expect that black women are supposed to be their caretakers. They don't want to necessarily play the masculine role that they're supposed to as men. They think that the women have to take care of them, hold them down, and then they romanticize this whole struggle love concept, like that a woman who's black should not be loved unless she's really ready to just go through the depths of hell with him, you know? So that's all. I don't think black women.
Well, thank
there.
You for that. No, that's a good insight. Thank you, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, we're gonna get through a couple of more super chats, and we're gonna talk about Pop Smoke, and we'll wrap it up. And then we'll, if you don't get through on here, we will do an after show, a quick little after show over on Station Head. Okay, so you guys can come over there and get into some things. Secondly, maybe I'll have my sister call in over there so you guys can challenge her because y'all want her to come and co-host.
I liked her comment about. How the men wants us to be their caretakers.
Oh, her, this lady.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that was good. There's a lot of them do. You ask a man what they're looking for in a woman, and you'll definitely hear the housekeeper.
Mm. Okay, so who's next? Who else do I have that I need to do? Is it 7317? Okay, 7317. Let's hear from some men. Is there any men? 7317. Okay. 7317, you're live on the air.
Hey, Armand, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I just want to make a comment about the black women being bitter. I don't think black women are bitter. I just think that black women pay attention to social media too much. They have, it's come to the point where black women think that social media is reality, but when it's really not. Like every black man out there is not hypnotized by social media where they want an exotic, so-called exotic woman, a light skin or Spanish woman, because half the time, most of those women don't want to date black men unless they got money. So if you were to go outside today, you'll see majority of our black men with black women. And they're not with the so-called pretty women. It's like pretty people only are with pretty people on social media. Like if you were to go outside right now, majority of the people, women are with guys that's not light-skinned, not muscular. Those guys are not with guys with the Megan Thee Stallion body, bodies and shit like that. But they think that the women that are bitter just are bitter for no reason because reality and social media are two different worlds. Like, so black women just need to get out of that mindset of thinking that men think one way because of what they see on social media when it's not like that in reality. So, but as far as the black conversation goes with the police, like, I think that black people have a misconception where they think that defunding the police and reallocating the money is going to help solve black problems when it's not that. Like, black people solve black problems by putting their energy into the problem, just like how they put their energy into the George Floyd situation. They need to put that same energy and march for education. They need to go out and march and protest for black-on-black crime, and then just march and protest for all other black issues. We need to stop asking to solve our problems because they're not. Like, even training the police is not going to stop. You cannot train racism out of a white person. Once a white person is in a situation where he thinks a black person is dangerous, he will kill that black man, point-blank, period. Like, no training in the world is going to stop him from doing that. The only way you can stop a white police officer from killing black men is by punishing them, showing them that there is a punishment towards you doing harm to unarmed black men. If they know that they're going to go to jail for life, then they're not going to kill you. So we need to fight for legislations and laws to put in place that will punish police officers, not defund the police or none of that stuff, or putting the money into black, you know, neighborhoods, because even if you put the money into black neighborhoods, it's not going to stop gangs from running wild. It's not going to stop black people from killing black people. Like, we need to protest, riot, and keep that same energy for George Floyd when everything else is going on in the black community. Everything negative is going in the black community.
Okay. Yeah. Did you want to respond to that?
I mean, I just disagree, and I've already said that point, but I do want to talk about what he was saying earlier. And I think that he made a great point where he said a lot of people are living on social media. And that's what I was trying to say earlier when I was saying to 50 Cent comments, it's outdated to say that we care because we don't
care.
And to his point, when I go, I don't, maybe it's, you know, different, or it's not even too much. It's everywhere. Like when I go out into the world, like, It's different from the pictures we're seeing on
online.
The shade room and on the blogs. It's men like black women, men like brown skinned women. We're doing good out here.
But I think a lot of people. I think of one of the key pieces is like a lot of non-black men like black women.
Yes.
So maybe that is where
even
it's at.
If we wanted to date outside of our race, I don't. But even if we wanted to date outside our race, if we wanted to date in our race, We can. Melanin is popping. Natural hair is popping. So I think it's dangerous to take the shade room comments or the few women that's upset and say, oh, black women are bitter. No, we're not. We really do not care. We're doing fine out here. We can pretty much
date who we
want.
But that's what I'm saying. But even the people who are upset about the comments, like, just get off social media. You would be so surprised how much happier you would be in the world if you get off social media. Social media will forever be
unnecessary. Social media has completely ruined people's just brains.
It ruined their mindset. Like, social media will forever be a negative realm in this world. It will always be negative. If you ever think
you
that you're going to go off social media.
We have women that think that men only want exotic looking women. Mm-hmm. When in real life, that's not the case. Like, girl,
but all women
are
like my to somebody.
Like my girlfriend, like, she'll always go on social media and look at pictures of Megan Thee Stallion and be like, oh, I want this body. I want this is goals. And I always have to remind her, like, look, you don't have to look like these girls on social media. You're beautiful the way that you are. Like, stop making social media brainwash you to thinking that this is how reality is supposed to be, that you have to look this certain way. Like, there's men that actually love women, like, love dark-skinned women and love big women and, like, all kind of different size women. But the women themselves brainwash themselves to think that the men don't like them because of what they see on social media, which is so traumatizing. And sometimes I think they need therapy to fix that. Like, they need to get off social media and maybe they'll realize that there are men out there that love them and appreciate the way that they are, and not just what they see on social media, the perception that they think men have on social media.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. One time for the straight guy calling in and chiming in. I did see some other men in the chat, so men, feel free to call in. Drop your last four. All right. Thanks, sir. Yes.
All right.
Another call. All right, thanks. All right, boom. 9778. We're coming to you. 97, and I see you 925.
Let me just clarify.
Yeah, you go ahead.
50 Cent's comments weren't triggering. I just said that it's outdated to think that that it's like triggering on this big level when it's not. If you act like the caller just said, if you actually go out into the real world and you'll see dark-skinned women are not tripping on getting a man. Like, we're fine. We're doing all right. Like, our melanin is popping in the real world. Like, if the 50 Cent to make that comment, stop thinking just because you see a few people on social media typing in capital letters that there's this big outrage in the real world, because it's not. It's really not. Ask your brown-skinned sisters, cousins, friends, ask them. We not tripping. And I feel comfortable speaking for brown skin girls and saying that. Like, we're not tripping. So, listen, only people that think we are people that live on social media.
9778, you're live on the air.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, first of all, you guys showed up in my recommended today, and this shit is live.
I've never been on a live stream.
This is really entertaining. Oh, gosh, there's so much to talk about. Wait, do I just pick something?
Yeah, whatever you want, baby.
Okay. Well, there was a few, I think it was your sister, that talked about the whole, like, we have a bunch of opportunities and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I kind of get where she's coming from just because I'm broke as fuck.
Okay.
Like, my dad's a cab driver. They're African immigrants. I'm black. I go to, like, a state school. You know, I'm doing well. But it's, like, out of how many black people in my neighborhood, like, how many of them got to do the same thing? Like, it's just me. And it's because I was raised in a certain environment. I grew up in the suburbs, and I didn't have a lot of issues that a lot of other people had. So I think it's, like, yeah, if you're black and you end up getting into a good school, yeah, you're going to get all the scholarships because you're the only black one there, and you're going to get all the financial aid because you're the brokest one there. But it's like, how many other people get that opportunity?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, every scholarship I apply for, I get. I don't have to work. I get great. But it's because I just got lucky. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not like that for everybody. So.
No, well, hey, those are your thoughts. Well, thank you. Thanks, Boo. Thanks for calling in. And make sure you subscribe to the channel. We do this all the time, so thanks for watching.
Woo!
Oh, she hung up. This is her. You could tell she was new. All right, who else we got next? I'm trying to scroll up to see. Okay, it's 6384. Did we get them? Okay, 6384. We got a couple more, and then we're going to move on. 6384, you're live on the air, then 6210.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Armand. I love you so much. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I have a few bullet points, and I'm going to be fast. I'm so happy that I watch you all the time. And
okay.
I love the fact that you are touching on these different topics. So with the Keisha Lance Bottoms situation, right? The problem with what she said, I agree with your co-host, it was inappropriate because we are talking about, when people say black on black crime, they're basically sensationalizing proximity. A person is going to kill who is in the nearest proximity of them. Mm-hmm. Nobody's traveling 1,000 miles to go kill somebody. You know what I'm saying? They're killing people who are directly in their neighborhood. Most, unfortunately, almost 30% of us live in poverty. If you're a black person living in poverty, you're not getting access to some rich white person to go and kill them. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing when a white person travels to a mall and they do a mass shooting and they're killing up all these white people. That would technically be white on white crime. So that's why it's an issue of proximity. It has nothing to do with how she made it seem like we're just out here killing each other, because most of the police who are in these neighborhoods, they're policing neighborhoods they're not a part of. So then the next thing I want to say, I know your sister, she touched on data, and she was saying that, you know, we're 13%, we commit most of the crimes. The problem is that a lot of these are petty crimes that are non-offensive, and we're also being falsely accused. So that's why that number seems high. But she's right that a lot of white people are manipulating the data to make it seem as though we are dangerous. But she's right about that. And I love her personality. She was spot on. I also have to say that, you know, Kim Kardashian is not actually freeing black people. She's actually taking all of the credit from Brittany Barnett and the angel Cody. I hope I'm saying their names right, but you should look them up. There's a lot of proof to prove, because, listen, racism is systemic, okay? And there's a lot of evidence to prove how the Kardashians have been systematically oppressing black women for a long time. But a lot of people are not addressing this. Yes, they have systematic, they steal from black designers, and these girls are literally, they can, like, go out of business. They buy their stuff, they fill up on it, they take the material, and then they remake it and they sell it. And these girls, their businesses start suffering. So what's happening at the end, so, you know, with her freeing people, no, it's, if you can look them up, anybody in the chat want to look them up, Brittany Barnett and me, Angel Cody, are the two women who have been working their asses off to fight to get these black people out of jail. They are two attorneys. It is not Kim Kardashian. She has not taken the bar. She cannot legally do that. Now, the next thing is, black women are not bitter. Okay, because I think black men, they use bitter as a deflection. It's, you know, it's like when black fathers who don't take care of their kids, they don't know what size shoe the baby wear, they don't know the shirt. They're not taking responsibility for the fact that they don't know how to be accountable. So black men don't want to take accountability for the poor representation that's inflicted on black women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's the reason why, you know, yeah, you can say that maybe that's something that black women, we could be upset about, but no. And then the whole thing, I agree with your co-host again, what she said, it's because of slavery, because they associate us with the struggle. And so that's why when he said, oh, it looks different, just got off the boat. Yeah, they associate us with the struggle because it's all they know, and it's because of slavery, and because we're always fighting for them, so that's how they associate us with these different things. And also, I want to say a lot of people are not picking up on the fact that I don't like it when black men kind of compare their phenotypes to black women. Because it's not really fair in that way, because I feel like you're trying to masculinize dark-skinned women. Now, I'm a lighter-skinned woman, but my sister's a dark-skinned woman, and she went through hell. So I know this stuff all too well. And I feel like when he says black women that look like us, I don't see no big bitch that looks like 50 Cent in a wig and a skirt. I'm sorry. So don't compare yourself. You know what I'm saying? Don't compare yourself to have the features of a black woman. Yes, you guys share that complexion, but you don't look the same. Don't do that, because that right there, dark skin is now being masculinized, but we have to understand that our sisters share that same skin, and that's not fair to them. Black women are also feminine, whether they're dark, whether they're light. So I just wanted to say all that. I know I said a mouthful. I'm so happy that everybody's not coming for me. But
thank you.
Now,
did you
want to
have, did you add to that?
No. Well, it was when in response to her, what you said about the Kim Kardashian thing.
Yes.
So I did. I was reading about that too. Those two black women that's actually doing all the work and Kardashian is getting the credit. I think what people appreciate though is the fact that Kim Kardashian is using her power and her assets to do this, because, and I think it sucks because we don't have someone, you know, that's in the same light as her doing that, looks like us doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So Kanye, he's a manipulator. He's smart. So yeah, he's gonna you know, push Kim to make those moves to make it seem like she's for black people when they're doing exactly what you're saying, stealing from black women every day.
Exactly.
So it's easy to overlook.
And you know,
yeah,
what?
I agree with you.
Yeah, and just like a few months back, she got her hair braided by a black woman, but said that her white hairstylist, who does not know how to cornrow, did her hair.
So
I didn't know she did stuff like that.
They take from black women, but they do it in a way where you can't tell me it's not oppressive.
My thing is with Kanye, I mean, we gotta appreciate that. If you go date a white girl, then hell, use that white privilege.
Period.
Right, that's true. That's true.
So we gotta do something.
That is definitely true, you know. But you know what? If he's gonna have a relationship with Trump like that, and people not gonna cancel him, then people shouldn't have canceled Chrisette Michele, you know, because she ended up having a miscarriage behind all that mess, and that was all because she was gonna make a coin. So I think, you know, I think we just, I don't know, black women are just treated like shit, regardless. You know, sorry to curse,
No, it's okay.
Well, that's why we gotta keep building each other up. That's why we gotta keep building each other up, listening to each other, whether we agree or disagree, informing each other, and just keeping each other, you know, in a good place, because we are the least respected. So.
All right. Thanks, boo.
Well, thank you. You are so welcome. I will be catching the after show. You are so welcome. You are beautiful, by the way, and I will be catching this on Station Head.
Okay. Bye. All right. So listen, is there anybody else? I know there was one more. Mo, do you remember that last one? Let me get that. Okay. 6210. Yes. If you just absolutely want to get on tonight, how much time we got? We've been on here over an hour, I'm sure.
Have we?
Oh, I'm sure. An hour and 30 minutes.
It feel like it. Wow.
An hour and 30 minutes.
Your channel is fun.
Yeah. Okay, you guys can super chat your way to the top. It is a $4.99 minimum, or we are going to get out of here, okay? Now, the last caller, what is it? What's 6-2? Because you see all these calls in this damn thing.
Who's Cake So Sweet say, you know, black women do not look out for each other. I can't even be mad at you.
6-2-1-0. You're live on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hey, what's going on, boo?
Hey, love your show, first of all. Long time listener, long time watcher. Love your stuff.
Thank you.
And I love this conversation because in this time that we're living in right now, this conversation is very much needed. So I do appreciate you doing this. First of all, what I wanted to touch on was with the last caller, I loved what she said about black-on-black crime because, for one, it's a myth. Not in the myth that black-on-black crime doesn't exist, but just the general saying black-on-black crime is actually a white supremacist term that they use to try to make it seem as if that black people are more inherently violent. And so that's why we as black people ourselves, we have to be very careful with the words that we choose against ourselves, because when we say things like that, we are literally arming ourselves with white supremacist talking points, because the statistics show that, yes, we do kill ourselves at a certain rate, but no higher or no less than white people kill each other, or Hispanics kill each other, or any other type of race. And proximity, like she said, does matter. Now, to the point about whether black women are bitter, no, I don't think black women are bitter, but I do think that we're tired. And the reason why I say that we're tired is because the one thing that I do notice about what's going on right now is I'm not mad that we're not making such a big deal about black on black crime like that the other caller said. What I'm perplexed about is how we rallied so hard for George Floyd But I don't see that same energy for Breonna Taylor. And this woman was killed. Not only was she a law-abiding citizen, but she was an EMT. So that means that she works in close proximity with these same police officers that came into this woman's house and killed her while she's in her bed, butt naked. And I want people to – I say butt naked because I want it to be clear that there's no way we can say that this lady was armed. We can't say that she was a threat to these officers in any type of way. And yet there is not the same energy towards that. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where you do see animosity from Black women, is that we are tired of people not rallying for us, especially in particular Black men. We don't see that in the streets as often. Now, I'm not saying that they're not there. I'm not saying that they don't care about us. I would never say that, because as far as the interracial thing, for the most part, most Black men and Black women are dating each other. But the problem is that when it comes to representation and when it comes to fighting for Black women, when we are killed by police, you don't see the same energy. Even when you go back to last year with Tatiana Jefferson, another woman who was killed in her home, babysitting her nephew. You can see that same energy that we see with Mike Brown or George Floyd. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that outrage. But what I'm saying is that if we're genuinely saying that Black lives matter, then all Black lives have to matter, every single one of us. And we have to understand, too, that they're killing all of us. They're not just killing Black men. But the thing is, when they kill Black men, they're doing it for a reason. They're doing it because they're trying to send a message to Black women that we don't have any protection. And they're sending a message to Black men that you do not have the power to control a situation, or neither do you have the power to protect your own women. And the other issue is that you have the last three generations of Black men who have been raised by women. Most of the Black community today is a part of a matriarchal society. We don't really have a patriarchy like that. And I'm not saying that they're having a patriarchy isn't toxic or it doesn't have toxic ways, but you can't eliminate total patriarchy, because if you take away patriarchy, you take away the protection of the community. So that is another reason why a lot of Black men are not stepping up. And what I do notice, too, is that Black men they're the only race of men that I believe are waiting for their women to give them permission to lead. And what I would encourage Black men is that you don't have to wait on us to give you permission to take the lead. If you want to take the lead, take the lead. And I guarantee you that Black women will follow. Because the thing is this, it's not about submission or about you being greater than me or better than me. But it's about Black women, we want to know that if we let you lead us, that you're going to send us in the right direction. Because what we're not going to do is let you lead us into the wilderness and you have no clue where the hell you're going. So at the end of the day, Black men have to take their place and they have to lead. And that includes in these protests. I've been to several protests locally where I am, and I don't see the leadership from the older generations of Black men. I see a lot of younger Black men, like these Generation X and Generation Y and Z, I see them out there, but they don't have any guidance, so they don't know what they're doing out there. And so they need the older Black males to step up into their leadership role. And that way we will be in a better position. We don't even have to worry about Black-on-Black crime, because we'll be too busy fighting white supremacy. And another thing, my last point I want to say is, to the sister that said, you know, about education and stuff, it's interesting how, you know, we as Black people, we've been accustomed to just accepting the fact that excellence has everything to do with education. But that's not always true in the American dream. White people all the time are not that educated, but they succeed based on their proximity to whiteness. So what we have to do is stop accepting the crumbs of what they've given us with these whole scholarships and grants. That's cool, and education is cool, but we need capital. We need an economy. We need resources. That's what changes a community, not just education. Education alone is not going to do anything. And so that's why it's like, yeah, you may see Black women, we might be the most educated, but we're also the most in debt. We're also the least to make it into CEO positions. we're also the least that you will see in on the top Forbes 100 list. And so a couple of sprinkles of successful black people here or there who didn't get that money from us, by the way, does not represent the total community and what we're going through and the oppression that we're dealing with as a whole. And so that's why I would encourage us to understand that, yes, while we have made strides since slavery, we still have a very long way to go because slavery still exists in the prison system. It still exists even in the education system when you see how they take our young boys out of school and put them in suspension or remedial classes or pump them up with drugs and misdiagnose them with ADHD. It's a whole lot going on out here.
Yes,
and
thank
so
you.
I just want to put into perspective that at the end of the day, we have definitely exceeded our ancestors' expectations, but now it's our generation's turn to take this to the next level. And with everything that we have going on right now, we have a unique opportunity to do that, but we got to ask for the right things. Because the main thing that they did not ask for during the Civil Rights Movement, they didn't ask for tangibles. We asked to be equal. We asked to have education. But we didn't ask for resources. We didn't ask for an economic standing. And the thing is, even today, if all of us got our money together, it would only amount to $1 trillion. Well, white folks have a value of $300 trillion. So we must demand reparations. It's not about a handout. It's what we're owed. We are owed reparations for the bloodshed and all the things that we've been through in this country because we built this country. So we need to be asking for that so that the playing field can even be at a level that we can even stand on. Right now, we can't stand on it alone. So we need to be asking for the right things, and we need to focus on the right things. And it's not that mess that 50 Cent was talking about. It's about us getting in these court systems and voting for our appellate judges who make these decisions locally in your own backyard. That makes more.
Yeah,
that,
but you know, I think even when we get into these positions, not to cut you off, I start to feel like because we have this mindset of it being limited amount of space for blacks, when we get in these positions, then we start selling out. So we don't even help each other out. It's almost like I'm here and I can't, and I'm not going to tell you
like
how
Candace
to get there.
Owens. They
you know
think
what
like
I mean?
Candace Owens. They think, well, I got the opportunity. We all have the same opportunity. Girl, no, we all don't. There's a system in place to make sure we all don't.
This is the thing. We have to stop. We have to stop doing two things. One, we have to stop looking for a black leader. We don't need another black leader because, for one, they kill them off anyway. They killed Malcolm. They killed Martin. So we don't need another leader. We need an agenda. That means that if Armand is a Muslim and you, my sister, if you were a Christian and I'm a Buddhist, it doesn't matter because we're all black. We get on one agenda. They can't stop you when you're on one agenda. You can't stop an agenda. You can stop a black leader or you can stop a puppeteer by giving them some money, like you said, Armand. But what you can't do is stop an agenda. And the other thing we have to stop doing is looking at racism from an emotional standpoint. It's not emotional. It's a money game. It's all a money game. And whoever's at the top is going to keep themselves at the top. And economics and racism go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So obviously, black people are at the bottom. So there's no way we have any power to oppress anyone or oppress each other. Now, we can be prejudiced toward each other, but we can't oppress each other. So what we have to do is get our dollars together, get those reparations, and then we can buy a candidate. We don't even have to vote. Voting will be totally irrelevant once we get an economy. Because when you get an economy, any mess don't matter. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you so much, baby. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap it on that. So we're going to end the call in right there. Thank you so much.